Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to Tennis Insider Club. I am Borja Duran, and here is where tennis stories and life conversations intersect. Join us as we uncover the untold personal journeys of the icons of the court. From laughter to life lessons, it's all here. Now, here's what's coming up today.
You cannot say you want to win Grand Slams and not have any pressure. Before, I couldn't even win rounds in the Grand Slam. Now I can be in the second week. Now I can be in the finals. And hopefully the next step will be to win a Grand Slam.
Just a couple of days before her first match at the Australian Open, I had the chance to sit down for a quick conversation with Ons Jabeur, the highest ever ranked African player in the WTA and ATP history. I had a chance to ask her about her journey from playing in hotels as a kid to becoming one of the best of this sport and arriving to the final of three of the last Grand Slams, something that is truly impressive. And also, we managed to get a bit personal and explore a bit more about how it is to work with your husband in such a demanding and roller coaster job. I'm very grateful that Ons gave us some of her time just before her first round, and we hope you enjoy knowing more the person behind the icon. Okay, so Ons, thank you very much for agreeing on this. I'm a
thank
big
you.
Fan, so I'm super excited. I think you're probably one of the players with the most interesting story of your beginnings in tennis, right? As an African player, a player from Tunisia, I guess there's not too much of a tennis culture there. So can you share a bit your beginnings?
Yeah, I mean, my mom is a huge fan of tennis, and she always wanted to play. So when she had her kids, she started playing a bit for fun with her friends. Since I was the youngest, 3 years old, she takes me with her to a tennis court, and that's how I fell in love with a tennis racket, with the balls, and it's and since then I can't stop. So I'm really enjoying playing here, everywhere in the world. I start mostly playing in hotels because there were not a lot of tennis clubs around in Tunisia. Now there is so many, which I'm happy with. But yeah, it's people in Tunisia are really obsessed about French Open, Roland Garros.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's a lot of people that follow a lot of tennis players. So, but we always want to have a Tunisian player. So it's nice to represent my country and be here.
As you say, it was kind of hard at the beginning to find places to play, probably also to find coaches. So for sure, it was more challenging than for the average European or American player. I guess you got a racket from your mom. You showed some promising skills, as we all have seen now. But how was this process of being good between the amateur level to getting to a professional?
No, I think as a kid, you don't think about this stuff a lot. You know, for me, I was just enjoying playing national tournaments. And then I think at the age of 10, I started traveling in France, and I'm playing different tournaments there. Yeah, and then I had to do some convincing to my parents to me go to Tunis, to the capital, because I wasn't from there. I'm from Sousse, that it's like 2 hours driving from there. And from the time I could practice more and study at the same time. You know how it is with parents that they need you like to focus on your education more. You know, I was happy with that. It just like make me practice more. And that's, we agreed it was a deal that I have grades and at the same time I can play more tournaments, travel more. And of course I was studying in a high sports high school that I could, if I miss, you know, exams or sessions, I can have a private one and get back, you know, to the same level. But it was one of the choices that I don't regret. I was, I think, a good junior player too, which, you know, helped the dream become bigger and bigger after. And that's something, you know, I just followed one step at a time. But for some reason, it's something I cannot explain, maybe the fact I see myself as a tennis player and I always believe that I can be one of the good ones. But yeah, I mean, the process is very difficult. You have some times when you doubt yourself and especially with a lot of injuries, after juniors, that you become a professional tennis player, the transition is very, very difficult. So that I think where I struggle a lot, but, I feel like if you believe enough and you see yourself one of the good players, you can manage these difficulties and become stronger at the end.
That's a very interesting topic because, as you said, you had quite a successful career as a junior player. But then the transition to being a top 100, top 50, and especially a top 10 player, it took a while, right? I think it was 3 years ago when you entered first top 10. So how was this journey? Because I guess it's hard to beat, no, your self-doubt, your am I going to make it? Which, I mean, it's still amazing to be in the top 100 of a sport, right? But I guess that was not your goal.
No, it was very, very difficult, especially with the injuries. I had a style of game that kind of different from other players because I tried to mix it a lot. I tried to do some difficult choices, I got to say. But that's maybe the difficult part of it. I didn't see clear maybe of my game, but I think I've learned a lot from the injuries, from the choices of the plan that I have to do on the court. And that's how maybe I become more mature after. And I do believe that everything happens when it's supposed to happen. So I don't really regret anything. Entering top 100 was kind of difficult. A different maybe episode in my career that to be there was like, okay, finally I've done this. What's next? And the top 50 came and I feel the rest just came like... very fast, you know, because I feel like I'm becoming better at this. I'm understanding faster. I'm becoming more and more disciplined, you know, on and off the court. It's a lot of things that followed, and obviously finding the right team, the right coaches that did help me believe more in myself and not doubt my game, and just building that up slowly, year by year. Would make me the player that I am today. And I'm happy that I'm staying maybe 3 years in a row in top 10. It's not something that it would happen in one day. I go outside top 10 and that's it. You know, I feel like I'm consistent in that. And that's years of trying to know myself and know what's better for me. And I feel like it's very difficult for a tennis player to find that. Sometimes you feel controlled by a coach or doubted by a coach or someone from your family. Not in my case, probably.
I know what you mean.
You know, so to find what's good for you, I think that's the key in my situation.
It's interesting because, as you said, I think you're probably one of the most consistent players over the last years, right? I think of the last Slams, you were in the finals of three of them, right? Maybe the outcome was not what you were expecting. But I think that says a lot of how good you are, how consistent you are, right? And how you're able to perform under pressure. Because I guess it's not easy, like being always so close and still being always one more time going and getting closer to it, right? So I think at this point, I think this speaks very well about your consistency. But also I guess it has to be tough to have been like so close to probably not one of your biggest goals of your career. How do you handle this? Is this something that kind of haunts you or it fuels you to keep going because at the end you were so close, right? That it's reasonable to think that you're going to get there.
You know, obviously, if I think back like 5, 6 years, 7 years ago and tell myself I will be in Grand Slam finals, that I would be in semifinals or quarterfinals, that if I take it, obviously I would take it, you know. And I feel like my career, personally, it's a process, you know, of so many things. Before, I couldn't even win rounds in the Grand Slam. Now I can be in the second week. Now I can be in the finals. And hopefully the next step will be to win a Grand Slam, to win more tournaments, you know. Before, I really struggled winning a WTA tournament. And now I feel like I could win tournaments. I can improve that. And I feel like it's something that takes time, maybe personally with me. Every player is different, you know, and I'm happy that I'm taking my time. I try not to regret things, because I feel like everything that I can learn from, and this results I can and learn from and be consistent, you know. I think a lot of players would kill for that, and I have that. So I do feel it's very important to be grateful for what you have than to look back and be negative on so many things. So for me, I really try to focus on the positive things, and if doing that, probably I will attract more positive stuff my way.
Interesting point. And how do you deal with all this pressure? Because you talked about all the good stuff that you have achieved, which is impressive. I mean, all of us, we can only dream about getting halfway. But yeah, again, no, if you want to achieve big stuff, you have to dream big. And that's always like trying to get somewhere where you're not there yet. So how do you manage all this pressure you put to yourself, and also maybe all from the outside, right? Because I guess there's a lot of noise about you getting so close from the environment, from the media. So how is it for you? How do you manage all this pressure?
You know, I work on myself a lot. This is also new for me. I never had this experience before. Pressure could get me sometimes. Obviously, I'm just a human being, which is completely normal. But I'm learning with the time to handle it much better. I try to enjoy my time on the court. I'm blessed that I have a great team around me. My family is always supportive. And they know the pressure that I'm feeling, because they're feeling it too. And they tell me, if we are feeling this, we're probably feeling double or triple what we are feeling, which is true, probably.
Yes.
I don't know, but I feel I've been learning with you know, experience and the time on tour, that I should accept any feeling that I'm having, either angry, sad, happy, or anything positive or negative. And this pressure, I'm accepting it. It's part of it. It's part of I chose to be a tennis player. I chose to have these big dreams. So I feel like I need to accept this pressure, because it's part of the process. You know, it's you cannot say you want to win Grand Slams and not have any pressure. It's impossible. So I see it as a package. You know, it comes together, and probably the pressure will go away when I stop tennis. So I have a different kind of pressure.
Yeah, exactly. It's at the end, it's pressure you need to have if you want to dream big. You talk a lot about your team, how they feel this pressure, and you are in a quite unique position, right? You have your husband as part of your team. How important it is for you to be able to probably be one of the few players on tour who gets to spend most of the time with her husband or boyfriend or whatever. And also how easy it is for you, because at the end, tennis is kind of a big roller coaster, right? Where every week you're feeling like lots of emotions. So maybe like not being able to separate those two things can be also a bit tricky, right?
It was a little bit difficult at the beginning, more than now, but we have learned to work together, to communicate and to be better on and off the court. You know, it is very tough to work with your husband or partner, but again, it's my choice. It's our choice, you know. Won't say my choice. But he's a wonderful man, and I'm very lucky to have him by my side. You know how tour could be very lonely. So, you know, to have him after I lose matches is something incredible. He cheers me up, and he's always there for me. So that's something, I mean, money cannot buy. So that's really amazing. And hopefully we can work together and achieve, because it's becoming our dreams, you know, right now.
I think you're very lucky regarding this. It's the only way probably to find a bit of balance between personal and professional life, right? And regarding this, in your new documentary that was released a few weeks ago, you were talking about the Wimbledon final, right? I think you said. I'm trying to find a way to watch it, but I haven't been able to find it.
How much you pay for it?
I haven't been able to find it anywhere. Like, you need to tell me how to. Yeah, I wanted to get to do my homework.
but it's only available in a few countries. And I tried with VPN, but still I was not able
to. We'll make it available in Spain.
Yeah? We'd love it, yeah. I mean, for sure it's going to be successful.
Thank you so much.
But yeah, I think you shared there, right? I was not able to watch it, but I could find some headlines about it. The fact that if you would have won the last Wimbledon final, you would probably have taken some time off court to build a family.
Yes.
Which I think it's awesome, but it also brings me to the question that of like how important for you is to win a slam, and that if you have put in kind of a deadline to trying to achieve it, and otherwise you would be willing to move to the next stage of your life, which probably is more like family oriented.
Yeah, well, you know, I love kids so much, and I am a family person. I always wanted to have kids on my own, and you know, having Karim by my side, who's also, like I said, a great person, and I'm sure he will be a great father. It wasn't actually linked, you know, Grand Slam and having a baby, but, you know, I'm 29 years old. My goal is to have a baby and come back. So it's the right time to do it.
Come back would happen.
Yes. And I feel like I'm honestly playing great tennis. So if I stopped, I'm not sure how I'm going to come back, and it's now or never to win that slam. So I thought maybe going to that final, and if I win it, I can rest a bit, you know. Even my body is a little bit exhausted from playing a lot of tournaments, from having like 3 years of a lot of tournaments. That doesn't help too. And every year you come to the tour and you're even more exhausted. So I thought a nice break to have a beautiful family would be amazing. And yeah, losing that final did hurt me the most, because I feel like a dream match with a title, like I said. So, yeah, I don't know. Everything happens for a reason. And I got to say, made me stronger for sure. And I will definitely come back stronger in the few Grand Slams.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mm-hmm. You're enjoying the ride of playing tennis or not?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if I wasn't, probably it would be very difficult for me to smile everywhere and not be happy on the court. So yeah, I feel like I always need to find a way to enjoy my time on the court. Otherwise, it's tough. And I'm not gonna lie to you, I had some moments where I wasn't happy, but. You know, I feel like if that moment was long, I would probably had to find a solution, maybe take a break, maybe. But I didn't arrive to that plan B or plan C, mm-hmm. So that's why I'm still here.
That's good, because I think maybe it was not your case, but I think there's many players who at the end, they don't make the choice of being a tennis player, right? It's more like they suddenly become good, their parents start putting them into clubs, into competing, they keep shining more than the average player, right? And at the end, they're like in a position in their life where they're not mature enough to make like big decisions. And then they find themselves in the top 100, top 50, top 10. And they're very good at it, but they don't enjoy it. But probably their personal identity is like so like aligned with being a tennis player that it's hard to move from that and find this plan B. So it's good it's working out for you and that you're managing to enjoy it.
Yeah, I think everybody is different, you know. Everybody needs to find their passion in life. I'm very fortunate and lucky and grateful really to find the thing that I love the most that I do, and it's fun, you know, at the same time. But I do think a lot of people maybe would struggle of finding the right thing to do, so that's why I highly think that people should work on themselves, should discover more themselves to get rid of maybe the obstacles or the difficulty that doesn't allow them to take, you know, the right choices. We are all human beings. We make mistakes, and it's part of our life, you know. And I do hope that everybody will be open about knowing what they want in life and find their real passion.
Yeah, I think probably now there's a bit of like kind of a lack of freedom, right? I think most of these people who might find doing something they don't like, but that from the outside world, they're like so lucky, right? Because they kind of play for a living, they make good money. So probably they feel like a bit, I don't know, guilty to not like it. But at the end, it was not their responsibility to be in that position. So,
I mean, guilt is a very strong emotion. Trust me, it's just, I feel like...
What do you feel guilty about?
I mean, so many things, obviously, but... you try to work on that. You try to get past that emotion because okay, you felt it, but you need to really work on it and just get rid of it. Nothing comes good from feeling guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like there is not a perfect job or passion. You know, everybody is different, and that's something that people should see and should know. Being a tennis player, obviously, it is very tough. The amount of work that you put. And you know how much it is to play tournaments, the stress, the pressure. So yeah, it's something I try to enjoy and see the passion through that. But at the same time, it could not be the right for another person. So that's why I said everybody is different. Everybody could find a different passion for.
And how do you deal with the outside pressure? Because one thing is the pressure you put to yourself, right? But then there's all. With social media and newspapers, right? You are at the top of the world one day, but then you do a few mistakes and all your previous success was, it's like down on memory lane and people start hating you. And so how easy it is for you to deal with this?
It's actually a very good question. I'll try to answer it today. But I do feel like... I define myself, you know. I try not to let other people say who I am. I know who I am. I know I am good. I made final. I know my position. I know my value won't go down because somebody thinks that way. And it's so easy to think something about someone else. You know? Mm-hmm. It's so easy to judge someone else. And it's something that I have worked on, I think, a couple of years ago. I feel it was like a new year, and I was like, okay, my resolution for this year is not to judge anyone. And if I can achieve that, I cannot judge myself. I feel like I won't allow people judging me because I have no control over what they're saying. And if I don't let this affect me, then honestly, I can go a step up and I can still work on something else.
Mm-hmm.
And people will say whatever they want to say, and I'll you would never satisfy everyone. That's a fact, and that's everybody know. And I would not control if someone wants to send me bad messages because I lost a match or did that. After all, I do believe it's a coward behind, you know, a screen.
Yeah, exactly. I think the funny thing about this, right, is that probably all this hate is coming from people who objectively they are not as successful as you are in their area of whatever they're doing, right? Because, I mean, I think probably like... people on tour, they're not laughing about other players when they fail, right? Because you understand that there's so much work behind it and that there's sometimes the mental part of it. So it's not that when someone is failing or not achieving great results, not because they're partying the night before or because they're being lazy, right? It's like, it's as you say, it's such a high competitive ecosystem and there's so much pressure and so much competition that it's easy to fail kind of in this world.
I feel sorry for these people that they could easily judge someone else. I feel like they have a lot of work to do on themselves, and I have no hate towards them. I just I really wish them all the best and wish they could improve, you know, in life, because we all have good and bad, and it's in our control to say which part takes mm-hmm. over, you know. So if you're a good person and that takes over, you're good and good for you. You're doing great things. So
yeah. I think maybe what they don't understand is the impact it can have in athletes, right? Because as you say, it's easy to rationalize, okay, this person doesn't know me, right? But maybe after a tough loss where even yourself, you're having some self-doubt about your tennis, right? Like maybe at that moment, if you start seeing all this negativity, it can really affect you. It can really, I mean, for sure, it's not helping you to love yourself more and to keep going. And maybe what they lack is to understand that there's a person behind this show they see on TV, that there's a human like them with feelings, and probably that way they would be a bit more careful on how much hate they put out there.
I mean, definitely, I agree with you. It's like they don't see we are human beings after all. You know, we lose and win, which is completely normal. I see it differently. I see that I cannot control what other people do. So what I control is maybe my feelings, how that message could affect me. Before it used to affect me 100%. After 80, 60, 40, and now it's like maybe affects me 5 or 10%, you know? And that's how it should work, you know? You should really try not to control other people, because you cannot at the end of the day, and that's the reality of it. The more you have self-esteem, the more confidence you have in yourself, the less these people would affect you. And that's obviously what I tell any other player, just to ignore the message. It's their problem, it's their fault, and we have nothing to worry about.
Before continuing, I want to talk to you about how our partners, Horme Performance, can help you take your tennis or any other sport to the next level. Visit test.tennisinsider.club to get a free motor preference test to help you know yourself better and unleash your potential.
I think we're getting close to time. So I'm going to ask you one last question. What would be your message to yourself if you were 15 again?
I would say believe in yourself no matter what people are saying around you. You're the only person that would know your body, your mind better than any other person. Work hard, work smart, as I like to say. I'm sure you'll become a great champion. You have it in you. So go there and achieve your dreams.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I hope you really enjoyed this episode as much as I did. It was a big pleasure to listen from Ons, one of the best tennis players in the last years and also a very inspiring athlete and human being with a super interesting story. Caro, what did you thought about the interview?
Yeah, I really like it, and I have a lot of respect for Hans as a player, obviously, and also as a very good person. I know her for a very long time in junior. We played a couple of times, and every time it's a pleasure to see her in tournament and exchange with her.
Yeah, I really loved like hearing from her this journey of going from being one of the best junior players in the world to taking a while to arrive to top 50, top 10, especially top 10, no? But how like this process, which was maybe longer than what she would have wished, allowed her to, once she arrived, that she's been able to be super constant, to stay there, delivering, arriving always to the late stages of the slams, you know? And I think it was super interesting to see this patience, to see this self-trust in yourself, in your capacities. And yeah, it was super inspiring. What was your favorite part?
Yeah, I really liked the fact she shared, obviously after losing in final of slam, she was disappointed, but she always remember after a little while that a few years back she was struggling to make it to the top 50 and winning tournament to 50 level, and now she was making a couple of final of slam in a row, and she made it to the top, and it's a very inspiring story, and her game style is different, and she say also maybe it took her a little time to figure it out, but she's a true champion and true inspiration.
Yeah, exactly. At the end, if even for someone as talented as her, you know, it takes some time to achieve your goals.
Yes.
I think that's a key takeaway for the rest of us, the normal humans, not you, but definitely me, that no big success without working hard for it, and it was a big pleasure to have her. And guys, stay tuned. Third episode coming out quite soon. But in the meantime, if you really enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world to us if you can share it with your friends and with someone that you can think can learn from Ons and be inspired by her. And lastly, you can visit our website, tennisinsider.club, where you can find our new collection of apparel, and you can find some really cool merchandising designed by Caro and me. Hope you like it, and see you guys very soon.
See you soon.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.